Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Welcome back to Going in Raw. It's the only necessary pro wrestling podcast you have to listen to. We've got donuts and beer today, Larson.
It's a belated birthday celebration for you.
It's our birthday, belated birthday celebration, because yours was recent. Mine was only 2 weeks after that.
Yeah.
About three weeks after that. So everybody celebrates, no, 2 weeks. Everybody celebrates our birthday here on Going in Raw.
We got donuts and beer.
That's all I really need in life, donuts and beer.
Yeah.
Because literally, live a very long life off donuts and beer.
Mm-hmm. This is a scientific fact.
Uh-huh. I have a birthday gift for you.
Yeah, you've been telling me that. Oh, we're going to do this on air.
Yeah, I'll do it on air.
Oh, a card and everything.
No, that's the wrapping. It's two cards. Happy birthday.
Stevie from... Am I supposed to read this?
I don't care.
Baseball. Oh, look at that.
It's like an old-timey baseball game.
It is.
Oh, yeah.
That's cool. Thank you.
That's what people used to do before iPads and iPhones and all those gimmicks. Video games and stuff.
Yeah.
Old-timey baseball.
Cool. I will spend several minutes playing this for sure.
At least. At most. All right. Slight change in format. Most importantly, Kayfabe Corner is still here.
Yeah, that's the only thing that really matters.
We're adding NXT as a regular segment.
Which means I guess I have to start watching it on a weekly basis.
You know what's funny is that you really don't need to. Because, like, the weekly NXTs are, like, sub-SmackDown compared to main. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
It's so, like,
The difference in quality of kind of everything is very drastic between the NXT event, special events, and the weekly show. Not to say the weekly show's bad.
No.
But they really...
It's fine. The weekly show is good for keeping up with development. The events, the special events are... Wow, what's going to happen next?
Yeah.
So.
It kind of feels like what pay-per-views used to be in, you know, like 20 years ago in WWE. Where like, oh, wow, there's a pay-per-view. Something incredible is going to happen.
Right, exactly.
That's what the NXT events feel like. Now pay-per-views, most of them just kind of feel like glorified Raws.
So first off, we're going to do.
Raw cap,
right. First, we're going to do that. Then we're going to have a brand new version of the gorilla position, where that's where we're going to talk about the scuttlebutt. That's where we're going to talk about rumors and backstage politics and stuff like that.
Yeah.
All the stuff that we've heard off the dirt sheets.
Yeah.
Right. And then, of course, we're going to be talking.
We'll conclude with the greatest wrestling trivia challenge of all time,
Kayfabe Corner.
And I got a new approach this week. I'm trying something a little different.
I like that. That's good.
So we'll see how it works.
I always gotta check my hair. My hair, I'm never satisfied with my hair. I always look.
Regardless of what you do with it, you're always unhappy.
I'm never happy. I'm never satisfied. I'm like Einstein.
Just shave it all off then.
Yeah. I would look horrible with no hair.
You don't know that.
I do know that. I've shaved it real. I've cut it really close before, and I'm not good. You would not like me.
Okay. Well,
I wouldn't be happy.
I almost don't like you now.
Raw cap.
That was rude.
It's okay. I don't need your apology. I just gave you a gift, and you say these things about me.
Well, that's all.
You know what would make it feel better? Another donut. Why don't you put one on my little beer tip here?
Here, open your mouth. No.
There we go. That's good to go. Let's see here. Raw cap. Leading into tonight's Raw, last week we had an opening segment. Rollins was trying to find his statue.
Yeah, he seemed obsessed with finding his statue.
And Triple H was trying to persuade him, hey, you know what?
Focus on what really matters.
Focus. Get your head in the game.
Oh, my God. You have so much chocolate on your teeth right now. It's gross.
Get your head in the game, man.
Ew. But Rollins delivered a pretty good promo to start Raw.
Yeah.
And then Sting popped up on the Titantron. And they're doing something a little different with Sting this time around. Yeah. They're not doing the brooding Sting.
No, they're not.
It almost seems like it's a little bit of his Joker persona from TNA.
I know. It bums me out when that starts to come out.
I thought he was pretty funny last night.
Oh, I didn't actually see any of the Sting stuff.
Yeah, it was funny.
Was it?
Yeah. I mean, there's a couple moments where he was a little over the top, so it was kind of like the Joker Sting. But it was most of the humor was pretty deadpan, and I enjoyed it.
Okay. I got to check it out. It's funny because, like, the entire week goes by, and, like, most of the time, neither of us have actually watched Raw. I watched the majority of it.
You didn't watch
the opening.
Oh, you didn't watch when Rollins came out?
I forget.
He opened the show.
Rollins opened the show. No, I didn't see that. I think I watched it like 15 minutes in, maybe.
Okay.
I don't know. Anyways, I saw a bunch of it. I didn't see all of it.
Okay.
Okay. So where are where do you stand? Oh, okay. I did see a Sheamus and Rollins bit.
Yeah.
And I noticed that no matter who, like you've noticed, no matter who stands in the ring against Sheamus, Sheamus is the heel without real heel heat. He's the guy who has legit heat.
Yeah, and no one likes him.
And the other person is automatically the face.
Yeah.
Because Rollins was automatically the face.
Yeah. And it's literally as soon as Sheamus came out, it's like whoever's in the, as you said, whoever's in the ring opposite Sheamus is immediately a face because it was like a light switch.
It was a light switch. Everybody hates Sheamus.
And also Rollins just started insulting Sheamus.
Yeah, it was great.
Like he was the face. So
you look stupid.
Yeah.
Yeah, which he does. So did the events of Raw shape how we think the outcome of Night of Champions?
Well, there's a lot of pieces in play right now. Okay. You have, in just this one match, you have Sting and Rollins, obviously, because they're in the match together. And then you have Triple H's legacy, if you will, hanging over that, too,
right,
with Sting bringing up Hunter last week. And so that seems to be part of Seth's motivation is to show Hunter that he is the man, and not just the man now, but the man, period.
Right, exactly.
And then now adding Sheamus to everything just kind of muddies the water even further because they're kind of
– my hand's got a lot of chalk on him.
They're kind of teasing that Sheamus may attempt to cash in. So if we're going to do – see, I still think that somehow – I still think Rollins beats Cena for the U.S. belt. Cena somehow costs Rollins the match for the world belt. Sting wins. And if Triple H brings out Sheamus to get it back from Sting, that'll start heat between Rollins and Triple H. And Rollins might prevent Sheamus from either attempting to cash in or cashing in.
Yeah.
There's just a lot going on.
There's a lot going on.
And it
right
could
now
go several different ways.
And I don't think Raw, like from what I saw anyways... they introduced Sheamus, which seemed to be a no-brainer. Like, we saw that coming a mile away.
Yeah.
So they got through that. Next week is the go-home show. Is that right? Okay, next week's the go-home show. We might have a better picture.
Yeah.
But it is. I still stand by the fact this is going to be a very unpredictable pay-per-view.
Mm-hmm.
My prediction right now is somehow, some way, they seem to be booking Rollins... I think they're telling Sting, you're going to get a big payoff. Not now, but...
At some juncture, yeah.
At some juncture, you're going to get a big payoff. Because you're going to lose to Rollins right now.
Mm-hmm.
Cena's going to lose. I think Rollins leaves with both belts.
Okay.
And I think maybe even Sheamus unsuccessfully cashes in. Rollins, I think, is Teflon right now. I think they're going to have him just continue this trajectory... Of amassing all this stuff, and really he doesn't have a lot to do with it. I mean, he's a great performer.
Yeah,
in character,
he plays his character really well.
The character is very slimy,
mm-hmm.
gets out of situations, and I think they're going to continue that thing.
Mm-hmm.
I think that things aren't necessarily at it. I think when he loses his belts, that's when there's going to be a big breaking point between him and Triple H. And I think it's too soon for that to be now.
Okay. He got a pretty decent pop last night when he came out at the beginning of the show.
He has to fight that every single night.
Mm-hmm.
Every single night he's out there, he's got to fight
mm-hmm.
the, you know, people liking him. Because he just, whenever he puts on a match, it's the best match, you know.
Well, we'll talk about that later because his match with Ryback was...
That's another thing I didn't see because I was like, yeah, I don't really want to. Did he lose to Ryback? What happened?
Yeah.
We'll talk about that now because your next note is, how bad does Ryback suck?
This is more specifically about the promo that Ryback delivered before his match. It could be more obvious that he was reading off cue cards.
Oh, God, that's terrible.
Because I think it was Renee Young interviewing him.
Yeah.
He didn't look at her. He didn't look at camera. He looked at some
thing in between. Oh, I did see that. I did see that, yeah. I know. No, he totally was. He was like literally just staring at one spot. And, yeah, you're right. I know.
The best part of the promo is when Kevin Owens came in eating an apple.
Yeah.
That was great.
That's right. I know. I love Kevin Owens. I think what bugs me, what I always think of whenever I see somebody looking off camera, and I don't think immediately they're thinking cue cards. Whenever somebody is obviously looking off camera,
mm-hmm.
I always just remember the DDP thing. How I remember when DDP came back to WWF.
Mm-hmm.
Or came to the WWF or whatever after WCW was bought. The first promo he did, he looked in the camera. And he caught heat from Vince, apparently, for doing that. And so the next one, he was looking all over the place, but not into the camera.
Yeah.
And so whenever I see somebody looking off card, like, I'm not thinking cue cards, even though you're totally right. It is cue cards.
Yeah.
I just remember DDP, Undertaker, Undertaker. Like, what are you fucking looking at? He was so confused as to what to look at.
Yeah.
Vince, I don't know what to look at. I don't know what to tell you.
Well, it would be okay if they should at least put the cue cards behind the interviewer. So the eye line kind of matches up.
I know.
But just, you know, a no man's land between interviewer and camera, put the cue cards there. It's obvious he's staring at his lines.
I know. God.
And then Owen comes in, super, super comfortable, super natural.
Oh, yeah, yeah. And what did Owen say? Is in your notes Owen stone cold in here? No? Okay. 10 years ago, Owen's made a point of tweeting this out. 10 years ago, he met him and Sami Zayn, or what do they call him back then? Generico?
Yeah.
We're on the road. Like, that's his real name. We're on the road together. They ran into Stone Cold on a plane or in the terminal. Mm-hmm. They were getting on the same plane, but Stone Cold's going first class. And he said, you know, they had a conversation with him. At the very end, he said, hey, one piece of advice. What do you got? He said, keep running your mouth. Whatever you do, whatever they say, just keep running that mouth of yours, and one day that'll give you a break. And he said, ever since, it was the best piece of advice I ever got, and ever since I've been running his mouth. And what happens? Now he's one of the best talkers out there.
Yep.
He could do that without any lines, without any script. He just goes, runs his mouth because he knows what he's talking about. He knows what he's doing. There's the difference. Him and Ryback. Yep. That's why he's going to be the new IC champion.
Yep, hopefully.
So the Ryback Rollins match, did it suck? Did Ryback win that clean or some shit?
The Sting came up on the Titantron, distracted Rollins kind of, and then Ryback won with a small package.
Oh, that's the worst.
But it's like the points in the match when Ryback was in control,
yeah,
it was terrible.
Yeah.
When Rollins was in control, it was kind of watchable.
Okay, yeah. Let's talk about something that we love. That's the New Day.
Yes, the New Day.
We love the New Day.
Yes, we do love
They're
the
fantastic.
New Day. They are awesome.
More importantly, people are starting to love the New Day.
Yeah.
Because they're starting to get chance.
Yeah, there's a lot of New Day Rocks chance coming out towards the main event or during the main event. Sorry.
Big E ate a kazoo.
Man.
I know, that was great. That whole backstage segment was wonderful.
Great.
I couldn't help thinking, though, I was feeling bad. I always get distracted by these things. I feel bad for Christian because he never really got a proper retirement.
That's true.
He never really retired.
That's true.
And so whenever I see him, he has this look on his face like, you know, I could be doing this.
I could still be here, essentially.
I don't have a bum neck like Edge over here.
Yeah.
But did you watch the Stone Cold podcast?
No, Christian had a bunch of concussion problems. That's why he's not wrestling anymore.
That's what I hear, yeah. But still, it would have been nice for him to...
No, granted.
I always liked his, like, 3 years or 2 years of, like, one more match. His gimmick was one more match.
Yeah.
It's like, you had a lot more matches.
Yeah.
Well, I don't know what we want. Let's see here.
No,
yeah.
But I didn't watch the Stone Cold.
Neither have I. I mentioned to you my sort of almost problem with the Dudleys being around now.
Mm-hmm.
In that they're supposed to be the face.
Mm-hmm.
But you have this organic heel-to-face transition happening where your heel is now more entertaining than the Dudleys, the face.
The New Day is more entertaining than just about anybody else on the roster.
I agree completely and totally. That's a problem for the Dudleys.
Mm-hmm.
Don't you think?
Yeah, I think the organic build will beat out a nostalgia act every time.
Every single time.
Mm-hmm.
Now, this is okay if... This is like a small one-time deal.
I think it's okay if maybe during the course of this feud, if the Dudleys go over at the beginning, but at the end, the New Day,
yes,
that's ultimately
good. Yeah,
goes
yeah,
over.
That's a good point.
But
yeah,
it's you know the passing of the torch thing, if you will.
There have been too many cases where the nostalgia act will bury the up and coming guys with actual heat, with good heat.
Yeah.
I hope that doesn't happen here. Yeah. I don't think it would because the Dudleys, I think they were brought in to enhance people. They'll give them another run with the belts.
Oh, yeah.
They'll give them another run with the belts. But in the end, New Day will come out on top. It's just for right now, it feels kind of awkward because, like, yeah, I want to cheer for the Dudleys because I love the Dudleys. But, man, the New Day are great.
Mm-hmm.
And then, oddly, like, one of the most entertaining acts on the roster also, the primetime players are kind of being left behind in the dust.
Yeah, they are, unfortunately.
So... The Dudleys are kind of coming in. It's kind of like the Shield season 4 when Glenn Close came in and took all the heat from all these great subplots that were happening that got put on the back burner for all of season 4.
Yeah.
It's my analogy. It's a Shield analogy.
Big E, I love how he incorporates the the New Day Rocks clap into his moves.
Oh, it's great. I know.
It started with the abdominal stretch where you clap on the rib cage. But last night I noticed for the first time, maybe he's done it before, I haven't noticed, that he had, I think it was Cena in a headlock.
Right.
And then jumped to the New Day Rocks tempo.
That's great.
Beat.
I love, he always has these great little one-word responses whenever, like, the backstage thing. He would just give his little tiny one-word quip here and there, his little arrogant, like, comeback.
Yeah.
I love Big E. He's fantastic.
Yeah, he is.
Let's talk about something a little bit more depressing, but there might be some light at the end of the tunnel in the form of Lana's hand injury.
Yeah.
This Dolph Rusev summer bullshit.
Yeah.
This is our long national nightmare. When will it end?
I think they're having a match at Night of Champions, and hopefully that will settle it.
That should be the blow-off. Dolph maybe can go on and fight somebody else, and we'll like Dolph again. As long as him and Lana are together, just rubbing it in our faces, I don't want to see that. Rusev is still good.
Whenever they let him talk, yeah.
Whenever they let him talk. They haven't been letting him talk as much lately.
But on this last Raw they did, and it seemed like he was trying not to laugh the whole time.
Boy, I guess I thought I saw a lot more Raw than I actually did. Apparently, I didn't see that much of it.
Oh, yeah. You didn't see that? This is a long segment, too.
Okay, no, I didn't see that.
Yeah, they're giving a lot of time to this angle.
See? I'm telling you. Okay, how much time do they give this angle versus the Wyatts versus the New Shield?
Well, it was spread out across two matches.
Yeah, okay. Braun Strowman. Did he continue to impress?
Yeah, he choked out Randy Orton.
Oh, so, okay, let's talk about it briefly. Are we thinking Randy Orton's going to be the third guy now?
Well, here's what I think. No.
Do you think it's still going to be Baron Corbin?
I don't know. They teased it accidentally, maybe. I'm still hoping it's Samoa Joe because it just makes way more sense.
Yeah. I think the Baron Corbin thing was probably
It seemed like it'd be a poll question thing. Like, who do you want the Shield to...
It could be a poll question or it could be misinformation.
It could be.
They did that. We can now confirm they did do that at... one of the NXT tapings, Owens came out with a belt,
and Sasha Banks came out with a belt.
Yeah. So they did that.
Yeah, it just doesn't make sense. I'll say this. Baron Corbin has been working as a heel in NXT.
Yeah.
And to bring him up to be part of a face team just doesn't make a lot of sense, unless he turns on to join the Wyatts.
Ooh.
That's the only way it makes sense. As far as Orton, here's what I think. So he was hanging out with Ambrose and Reigns backstage before his match.
Sure.
I fast-forwarded through it, so I don't know what the motivation was. And then after the match, after Orton's match with Sheamus, the Wyatts come out and beat him up, and Braun Strowman chokes him out.
Yeah.
So I'm guessing now anybody that hangs out with Ambrose and Reigns is going to get beat down by the Wyatts.
Oh, that's a good gimmick coming up, yeah.
The next, what, week?
Yeah.
2 weeks, whatever.
No, I like, that's good. That should be turned into a whole thing. Like,
it should.
They're like, hey.
Like, they're in craft service, and they sit at a table, and everybody else in that table sits at a different table.
Exactly,
kind of stuff.
Yeah. Ooh, oh, my God. I don't know if you want to talk about this during Gorilla Position or not, but we had the trailer for 12 Rounds 3.
Oh, I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, it's Dean Ambrose in an action movie, and it's great. And he's only got, I mean, you know, the whole gimmick of the movie is he only has 12 bullets and a gun.
Yeah.
Oh, it's great. It's Dean Ambrose as an action hero. It's fantastic.
I'll have to check that out.
I can't wait. We have to watch it together or something.
Okay.
Let's see here. And it says on VOD and theaters coming whenever.
Oh, okay.
So I don't know what theater it's coming to. Probably not here in Sacramento.
Probably
but
not.
If it does, we need to figure out.
Yeah, we should go.
We got to check that out. let's see.
But what do you think the odds are that Corbin will be the third guy?
Zero. I think it's going to be Orton. Well, what else is Orton doing right now?
Well, he had a match with Sheamus on Raw.
Yeah, Sheamus moving on to cashing in.
Yeah, he beat Sheamus.
Yeah.
So it could be. But I don't know. That's why I first thought when the Wyatts came out and beat him down, but then during the course of the commentary during the beatdown, the way they were talking, it made it seem like they're just setting something up.
Right.
For the Wyatts just to beat up whoever's hanging out with Ambrose and Reigns.
Right, yeah. No, that could that could be. But they don't have a lot of time to do that. I mean, maybe they can do it on SmackDown or Raw SmackDown.
Yeah.
Possibly. But, I don't see Corbin. I mean, the only thing about Corbin is that these days the higher profile NXT, number one, Corbin ain't ready for Maine.
No.
Number two, even if they think he is, I guess the only justification would be anybody who comes up from NXT now, it's kind of like the WCW jumping over effect.
Yeah.
They're going to get a pop no matter what, no matter who they are, what their whatever is.
Yeah.
So he'll get a pop. I would actually be totally okay with Corbin joining the Wyatt family.
Yeah.
I would be cool with that. I would love for the Wyatt family to swell a little bit.
Yeah, yeah.
And then start running havoc across the WWE. That'd be really cool.
See, the other than if it's going to be someone jumping from NXT other than Samoa Joe, the only other person that I think would be interesting.
Mm-hmm.
And the only reason I can see Corbin being a possibility is that he can match the size of Strowman.
Okay,
kind of.
Yeah.
He's tall. And who else in NXT is really tall?
Who?
Cass.
Oh, don't say it. Oh, but that's not going to happen. You know, I haven't read this at all.
Yeah.
But it seems kind of obvious at this point because they've been trucking out Carmella on every episode on her own.
Yeah.
They're waiting for her to get her wrestling chops up a little bit more.
To bring them all up.
I have to believe that. I mean, it could be that they don't have a good spot for them right now because the tag team division has its own thing going on.
Yeah, maybe they're waiting for the storyline with the Dudleys.
That could
be. To pass.
But in the meantime, it does seem like because this is her second time in a row, she's come out on her own, had a wrestling match. She does this really cool thing. She's got nothing but charisma.
Yeah.
Her wrestling is coming along, and she's got these cool little gimmicks she throws into her wrestling matches. Like, she'll do the moonwalk out of a move, and it's really cute.
That's cool.
Yeah, she's cute as shit. I love her. Let's see here. Cesaro, what did they do with Cesaro this week?
So there is Cesaro had a match with The Miz, already going in the wrong direction.
Yeah, that's not good.
And then for some reason, he was just stuck in the middle of the Big Show Miz feud. And so during the match, Big Show comes out, Miz runs out of the ring, runs into the crowd, and then while the Big Show is walking back to the ramp, Cesaro's there, and he just punches Cesaro for pretty much no reason.
I don't know why are you doing that with Cesaro. Fuck, man. You know what'd be cool? Have Cesaro fight Apollo Crews somehow. I don't know why.
It'd be a really good match.
I mean, give Cesaro something to fucking do. That'll be a good match.
I mean, after the matches he had with Cena, the match he had it with Owens at SummerSlam, momentum. Tons of it.
Lots of it.
Tons of momentum.
Yeah.
And then just to piss it all away for a guy who has a lot of potential. And there's a good portion of the audience who like him a lot.
Yeah.
And he's really starting to play to it as well.
Yeah, he is. Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know what they're doing.
I don't get it.
I don't know what they're doing.
Let's take a commercial break.
Yeah.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Go to lootcrate.com/Steven Larson now and get a discount off your new subscription. And if you order by the 19th of this month, you'll get the Summon Crate featuring an exclusive item from Supernatural and some items from Blizzard.
And every subscription that uses the promo code friendo at lootcrate.com/Steven Larson receives a discount and we get a kickback too. You want cool shit to show up at your door every month? Then sign up for your Loot Crate now.
Just click the link in the description or go to lootcrate.com/Steven Larson now.
Let's briefly talk about the Divas Revolution and its current status.
Yeah.
Two matches this week. Sasha Banks.
Yeah, Sasha versus Paige.
I love Sasha.
Yeah.
If Bayley had a cool-looking shirt for guys and not the purple one that says I'm a hugger, I would totally get one.
You don't like the hugger shirt?
No, it's purple with yellow lettering. I would look like an asshole.
No, you wouldn't.
And I'd be walking around with a shirt on that says I'm a hugger.
You don't like it because it's not a black shirt and you only wear black shirts.
It says I'm a hugger.
So?
I'm not sure what else it could say.
I used to have a shirt that said free hugs for qualified candidates.
Yeah, but it probably looked cool.
No. It was botted at the dollar store.
It was botted at the dollar store?
Botted at the dollar store, yeah.
Now, I remember that was for your bachelor party, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. Sasha, I might actually buy the boss shirt.
Yeah, that's a sharp-looking shirt.
That's a sharp-looking shirt. I love her.
And she's fantastic.
She's amazing, and she won the match against Paige.
Yeah.
Did Charlotte... What happened with Charlotte?
No, there was a...
Charlotte went on Raw. Oh!
They're doing the thing with Will,
Nikki... Do you think they're going to have the balls to take the belt off Nikki, I say no.
On the night that she's going to break the record, they have the countdown.
I say no. It would be huge if they did. It would be massive. It would be glorious. It would be ballsy, and it would be amazing storytelling if they did, but they're not going to do it.
You don't think so?
No way.
Why not?
If they had a problem with AJ Lee, which they don't, because they're making such a big deal out of the fact that it's her record.
Yeah.
If I thought they had a problem with her,
mm-hmm.
then I would say it's guaranteed lock. Nikki's going to break the record.
Yeah.
That being said, I still don't think it's going to happen because Nikki holding the record is a permanent solution.
Let me ask you this.
To the AJ Lee problem in case things get really messy with this lawsuit with CM Punk.
Let me ask you this, separate from the AJ Lee scenario. What's a better story? Charlotte beating her to prevent her from getting the record, or Charlotte beating the longest reigning Divas champion of all time? What's the better story?
Oh, Charlotte being the title holder for the longest amount of time.
No. I said...
Nikki. You said Nikki being the...
Yeah, if Charlotte beats her after she breaks the record versus Charlotte beating her before the breaks the record, what's the superior story?
Well, the superior story now in the short term is definitely Charlotte winning.
Yeah. Next week, you mean, on Raw. Sorry, tonight on Raw.
Right, tonight on Raw. The long-term story is Nikki holding the record. Because people are going to forget Raw. They're going to forget what happened on Raw. Charlotte wins the belt. Charlotte will have a long run. But we don't know how long that run's going to be. We don't know if she's going to get injured.
Mm-hmm.
I think they probably think they can have their cake and eat it too. Having Charlotte win the belt is big.
Mm-hmm.
Having Nikki break the record is big. Right now, the story of Charlotte beating Charlotte spoiling the record is big. But long term, that's not huge.
Yeah. What's probably going to happen is Charlotte will have the match won.
Yeah.
But either through disqualification or some interference, she'll end up not winning. And then at the rematch at Night of Champions, she'll win.
And that's the thing. That's exactly what's going to happen. Because then you get two big celebrations. You get Nikki having her celebration. And that sets up a ton of heel heat on her.
Yeah.
And then Charlotte winning, taking all that heel heat. And pushing her on the
as
face.
Much as I would like Charlotte to win.
Oh, it would be great!
It'd
it would
fantastic.
Be
fantastic if you really want to kickstart.
Huge!
If you really want to kickstart this whole,
that's how you do it.
The Divas Revolution as a single storyline, not just teams.
Yeah,
that's the best way to do it.
But
again,
how you do it. I agree.
It could just be a short term gain versus a long term one.
Let's talk some NXT.
Okay. I didn't watch it this week, so you'll have to fill me in.
Oh, I don't know. I sort of half watched it
because
I had Alabama just hanging out with me, but then I also had like a couple of stepkids just in there, all in my business, asking me about stuff. Carmella wrestled. I forget who.
Was it Dana Brooke?
No.
Because you texted me something about Dana Brooke yesterday.
Yeah, I'm not a big fan of Dana Brooke. Not a big fan of hers. She has a good physique. She flosses it well.
Did you say flosses it well?
You know, shows it off well. Yeah,
I thought
flosses
you mean
it.
Flaunts.
No, flosses it. You don't know the term flosses?
I know flosses as in cleaning between your teeth.
It's another term. I'm flossing this. I'm showing off my new Jordans. I'm flossing my Jordans.
Is this?
Go ahead and look it up.
Is this slang or
look it up? It's slang. Oh, it's not like proper. No, it's slang.
Okay.
From like 10 years ago, probably.
Okay, I don't think I've ever heard that before.
We'll look it up later. Hold on a second.
No, keep talking. I'll look it up now.
Okay, I'll look it up now. They're still doing the Dusty Rhodes Invitational Tag Team Tournament. Tyler Breeze. It looks like Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey are going to have a program now.
You're right.
I know I'm right. I know what I'm talking about. Just because you wear the Run the Jewels shirt here, man, at my house, doesn't mean you know all the kids' lingo.
I definitely don't know all the kids' lingo.
What do you think about Tyler Breeze?
He seems like a career NXT-er.
He does, right?
I like aspects of his character.
Yeah.
I think to the best of his ability, he owns that character.
To the first clause of that is the important part. To the best of his ability.
I think if he was brought up to Maine,
He looks like he's playing a character as opposed to somebody who is the character.
I feel like he could have a decent lower to lower mid-card run on main for 2 years before he's released.
He's a sub-Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
I think he's a sub-Zack Ryder, and I don't know that he's ever going to be a plus Zack Ryder.
Yeah.
I just don't. I don't know. I pull for him.
Yeah.
I really do, because he seems like a hard worker and he's with it. And he has said, if I'm in NXT for the rest of my life, so be it. If I'm developmental the rest of my life. If I'm developmental the rest of my life. I don't know. Bull Dempsey reminds me of Big Jim.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
In so many ways.
Mm-hmm.
What else happened? So they fought Samoa Joe and the Fonz.
You mean Finn Balor?
Finn Balor came out. I like him better, I think. The problem is, I'm texting you this, and I'm realizing, you know what? Larson doesn't like his big to-do entrance with the demon and the dreadlocks
and
stuff.
Yeah, I don't like all the extravagance.
I do, but then I saw him come out as just a guy with a cool leather jacket the Fonz.
You said he came out in a leather jacket. How much did he resemble Alex Wright from WCW?
If Alex Wright was given really cool music instead of that Euro trash.
Well, that was his character. He was Euro trash.
Right.
Wasn't
but
he?
Like Finn. Yeah, I think so.
I don't want to be insulting to anybody, but it seemed like what his character was.
He was.
Okay.
I think Finn, like, he had like his collar popped. And hey, Gypsy.
It sounds like Alex Wright then.
But he was bathed in like cool red light.
So they kept...
And his music is so much better. That's the thing. His music is really... You can't deny his music is really cool.
Yeah.
The orchestra and stuff, it's
okay.
Really cool.
No, it's okay.
It is. It's good.
It's okay.
It made him look like a grade A badass. It made him look like the Fonz. He came out, hey.
But like I said, his
step into my office. And it's the bathroom.
Neither his physique nor his presence is one of a badass.
My main problem with Finn Balor is after his matches... He looks like that guy with the gold spray paint on his face in the mugshot. I've sent you that on Twitter before.
Yeah.
He does look right.
Yeah.
I'm right.
Yeah.
That's my main problem with him. But as just a regular dude, he kind of comes out like he carries himself like kind of a badass. I think he does. It's like a biker jacket. That's the difference. It's not like an old school like Fonzie leather jacket. It's like a cool biker, like not a biker, but like a motorcycle jacket.
Okay, but not is the one with the zipper kind of on the side right here, like the Fonz used to wear, because that's what Alex Wright used to wear, right?
Right. It's not like an Alex Wright.
Okay.
One,
this is when he said leather jacket and collar popped. I just thought of Alex Wright.
It's not Alex Wright.
Okay.
It looks
okay.
And he put his leg out. Alex Wright was the worst. And then didn't he do like a weird German goth thing? I think.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't know. They called him like then he had his partner, The Wall. I forget.
Yeah.
I think they renamed him.
Yeah.
The Wall was like the Berlin Wall or
something. Yeah.
That's great. Let's see here. Okay.
Is that all for NXT?
Yeah, what else happened on NXT?
I don't know. I didn't watch it.
I'm trying to think. I'm saying to myself.
It's only an hour.
There was another tag match. Let's see, there was Samoa Joe and the Fonz versus Tyler Breeze and Big Jim. And then there was one other. Oh, those new kids. Gargano and Ciampa.
Yeah.
I know they won. They beat... It was like a surprise thing, too. Was it Lucha Dragons? I don't know. Maybe they fought Lucha Dragons. Or maybe they fought Tyler Breeze and Bull Dempsey, and then Samoa Joe and what's-his-face, the Fonz, beat the Lucha Dragons. It was one of those two. But those Lucha Dragons, I don't know. Zin Kara's a botchy mess. I've been watching Botchamania, and they keep on spotlighting. In fact, this is like the eighth guy to play Zin Kara, and he still is just a botchy mess.
You know, I've heard that it's hard to see out of his mask.
That could be, too.
So that people were saying that might be why.
That could be. I don't know. That guy's an absolute disaster, though. Anyways, Larson, I think that's it. It's time for the new gorilla position. This makes me excited.
Yeah.
Do you have notes about gorilla position?
I wrote down here.
Oh, okay. We'll talk about that. Set it up.
I guess about a month and a half ago, WWE released the Click Rules DVD.
Yeah.
I guess to celebrate The Click?
The Click, sure. Well, Triple H likes his friends.
Yeah, yeah, pretty much. Yeah. I haven't watched it.
So I'd release a Steven Larson DVD every other month also if I could.
We wouldn't make any money off that, though.
No, but, you know.
And then recently, Bret Hart did an interview where he referred to The Click as a cancer in the locker room.
This goes back to our theme from last week. Bret Hart is getting old
and bitter,
and losing his mind.
Yeah. Well, he said this. You know, he was running down everybody else in The Click.
Yeah.
Except Kevin Nash. He said, he's a good guy.
Yeah.
And a great wrestler.
Hold on a second.
Proof positive that Bret Hart is kind of going a little crazy.
He's losing his marbles.
Because Kevin Nash is not a good wrestler.
That kick that Goldberg sent to his head is starting to bear fruit.
Yeah.
In his head is not good fruit.
No.
Yeah, because Kevin Nash.
Not a good wrestler.
Not a good wrestler at all. Not a terribly good booker. Charisma.
Yeah.
And he seems like a good guy. Like, on Twitter, anyways.
Yeah.
Like, he's a fun follow. He seems like a small... I'll put it as he seems like a really smart guy.
Yeah, he seems like a very bright guy.
Super
and
smart
guy. The Stone Cold podcast he did.
Yeah.
The one we listened to.
Yeah.
Was wildly entertaining.
Yeah.
Incredibly entertaining.
Yeah. But if you were to believe WWE Today, specifically Triple H, his friend was like... The end all, he was like the Hulk Hogan of 1994. You know, like he had the company for a year with the belt, and let's be honest.
That was one of the lowest points in WWF's history.
It really was.
Mid-90s.
But that said, when Bret Hart carried the belt, it wasn't like he did much more, you know. But Bret Hart was actually a really good wrestler. And he also ran down Scott Hall pretty hard.
Yeah.
Said he was a malcontent,
yeah,
and that his anger was
infectious,
and that when you're around him, you start being angry yourself.
Yeah,
and you said this before we started recording. Well, you know, the guy's literally was face to face with the man who had his head blown off, and he was partly responsible.
Yeah,
even
that's traumatizing.
Yeah, I'd be angry too if I saw somebody's brains exploded.
Yeah,
jeez.
Yeah,
so just stay away from those types. You don't have to be near him. You know, I get it. Bret always seems like, you know, did you ever listen to the Stone Cold podcast with Shane Douglas where he talked about his experience with The Click?
Mm-mm.
He didn't say, he basically just laid it out there, said, this happened.
Mm-hmm.
And it was, I forget exactly what it was, but it was a story where The Click basically buried, I think, the Patriot.
Mm.
And they tried to get Shane Douglas in on it, and Shane was, like, really uncomfortable about it, and eventually he ended up leaving. But he didn't seem bitter, but he was just like, look, this is how it was.
Yeah.
They did this, I was very uncomfortable, and I ended up just leaving shortly thereafter.
Mm-hmm.
Brad seems to take everything, and he always has, seems to take everything so personally.
Yeah, he does.
He's one of those guys that really seems to think that there's something real about this shit.
Well,
you know?
No, I think it's for him. He holds himself on a moral high ground.
Yeah.
And then when people violate his sense of morality,
yeah,
he casts them aside.
Yeah.
I think that's what it is.
Well, Hunter, you knew about this, Hunter. You knew about this, Hunter.
Remember, but I want to...
In the fucking...
Yeah, yeah. But out. I thought we could talk about, with all this stuff coming up, the impact that they've had on the wrestling industry.
Sure,
And obviously, there's two aspects to it. There's the... what they've done in front of the camera in terms of their performance in the ring, and also kind of the, you know, what they're probably most notorious for is their endless politicking backstage.
It is a tricky sort of, because all of them except for X-Pac really were very entertaining people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, eventually, like in the final analysis of things, Scott Hall, we always put up there with, we're surprised he didn't at least get the WCW big
gold belt.
Well,
yeah, it's him and Kurt Hennig and a couple of the people who never seemed to...
Piper, exactly. Very few batch. And then Nash, you know, he obviously... We're fans of Nash. You know, we know, we understand what his limitations were, but he was entertaining, you know, and he was pivotal in the NWO.
I think for the most part, he understood his limitations as well.
Right, exactly, yeah. And so those two, and as the outsiders, they were badasses. We enjoyed watching. Yeah. It was cool when they came out. They did make wrestling kind of cool there for a bit.
Mm-hmm.
Shawn Michaels, one of the best, arguably the best in-ring performer of all time, you know?
Mm-hmm. Triple H is kind of
Triple H. I was always a huge
Triple H fan. You were, and for this for 15 years, he was the game. He was at the top.
Absolutely, yeah. And he was.
You can't argue with the in-ring success of at least four of the five of those guys. Even X-Pac had. Any other measure had a really good career.
Absolutely, and he, I think he's still going at it, like on the indie ranks or whatever. But so we're fans of the Click for the most part, and we like the idea of the Click. You know, they had their cool little hand gestures, and they were kind of the badasses, and they were the cool guys. But at the same time, they seem like absolute pricks.
Mm-hmm.
But that's one of the – we've kind of talked about this before. That's kind of one of the – that's one –
Didn't Triple H say in somebody's in one of the documentaries they made about another wrestler that about the business back then especially was you had to be a shark?
Oh, yeah. That was in the Stone Cold documentary.
Yeah, that's what it was. And those guys were just great whites, I think.
Those guys knew how to play the game. They, I mean, if you think about it, they did more for the wrestlers in terms of, hey, you know what? I don't know what you're making. We should all know that because we're all working and they're all making money. So they got together and said, hey, what are you making? Oh, you can make this much. You can make this much if you say this. And so that was as close to like a union that there's ever been in the WWF, which is probably what it really, really needs. So there are positive aspects, and people, and especially in the wrestling industry, where everything in the wrestling industry is cartoonish.
Yeah, you know? Well, they were also some of the first guys to kind of break down that wall too.
Yes, they started the sort of realism thing.
Yeah,
they arguably started the Attitude Era.
Yeah.
So it's whenever you hear these stories about them, there might be some fucked up stuff that they did. But they're always looking out for each other. And like you said, they were sharks. You know, it's like either they were all on top. Now they're one of their dudes is on to literally on top of the business. So it's hard to argue with any sort of legacy like that. And Bret Hart just happened to be a guy with a lot of pride and being on the wrong end of that. Because I'm sorry, I'd rather watch. I know I'll get some heat for this.
Okay.
Neither of us are Bret Hart fans.
Not really. Really? No.
I appreciate what he brought in terms of like the technical wrestling that he could do. I've never been a guy to put technical wrestling that far up. Take a guy like Kurt Angle. Better technical wrestler than Bret Hart.
Yeah.
But could talk.
Yes.
Could talk and had charisma out the ass. If Bret Hart was anything like Kurt Angle, I'd be all about Bret Hart.
Yeah.
But he was lacking in everything but the technical wrestling aspect.
For the most part, yeah. He always seemed like a guy that took himself way too seriously.
He wore pink tights. How serious can you really be about yourself if you wear pink tights? You know what I mean? So, I don't know. I mean, the Click, this DVD or whatever it is probably going to draw money because those guys always drew money, you know? So, and it's always fun to see them together. Whenever you see the Hearts together, like whichever ones are still around, it's always kind of sad, you know?
Yeah. Those guys, the Click guys always seem like they're having fun together.
They seem like they're having fun together.
They genuinely like each other.
Who would you rather hang out with? The Heart Foundation or the fucking Click?
Click.
The Click. You get hammered drunk.
Yeah.
All the time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Scott Hall's doing another Stone Cold podcast.
Oh, that's cool.
Yeah. Looking forward to that one.
Yeah, definitely.
Hey, friendo, Steve here.
And Larson.
Do you like wearing clothes? Sometimes we do, too.
So if you want the best friendo gear to wear at the donut shop, local pub, or in dark alleys, go to stevenlarson.spreadshirt.com now and check out our latest line of shirts, including the new Kayfabe Corner shirts from Going In Raw.
And the P. Desperado Crew shirt, as Barry Bratwurst would say.
This shirt is 100% guaranteed peed on.
There's no actual urination on our shirts, but they sure are swell. So go to stevenlarson.spreadshirt.com or click the link in the description.
Is it time?
Oh, yeah, it's time.
You're really excited. You're really excited this week, aren't you?
It's funny. Kayfabe Corner is that thing. I'm always excited for it, but it always ends in disappointment.
All right. Tell us what Kayfabe Corner is, Steve.
Kayfabe Corner is the ultimate wrestling challenge.
Correct.
It is where each week one of us tasks the other with 12 names, 6 real, 6 fake.
Correct.
And,
Yeah.
That's
pretty much it.
Petered out.
decided to do something a little different this week.
Good.
So what I'm going to do is give you a wrestler's in-ring name.
Okay.
And then what may or may not be his real name.
His in-ring name. And then, okay.
And then you have to tell me whether the real name is real or fake.
Oh, wow. Okay, I like it. All right.
And there is a bonus question.
Have I heard of any of these in-ring guys?
Oh, yeah. These are all in-ring guys.
All
in-ring? All these in-ring guys you've heard of.
This would be 12 out of 12.
We'll see. Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay. First name, wrestler name, Johnny the Bull. Real name, John Hugger.
Johnny the Bull. Oh, wow. Johnny the Bull. Wasn't he a WCW guy? Was Johnny the Bull a WCW guy?
I don't know.
Oh, okay. Johnny the Bull. John Hugger?
Mm-hmm.
Not fake.
Real.
Fuck! Damn it.
You keeping track?
Yeah, I'm keeping track.
All right. Next wrestler. One Man Gang.
Okay.
Is his real name Jerry Green or no?
Jerry Green, not fake.
Correct.
Okay.
There's one.
One.
Ricky Steamboat.
Okay.
Is his real name Richard Blood or not?
No.
It is his real
name. It is, really? Yep. Fuck.
Still next, Arn Anderson.
Okay.
Is his real name Michael Mund or not?
Oh, man. Michael Mund. Michael Mund. He doesn't look like a Michael. Fake.
Yes, fake.
What is the real name?
Something Lund.
Mund sounded familiar, but it didn't sound familiar enough.
I know. Adrian Adonis. Is his real name Frank Ferronia?
Yes.
Fake.
Fuck!
His real name's, I think, Keith Frank.
Keith Frank.
D'Lo Brown.
Okay.
Is his real name AC Connor?
Yes.
Yes, it is. Good job. You knew that one, huh?
I did.
Stan Hansen. Is his real name Stan Hansen?
Yes, it is.
Nope.
No, it's not.
I think it's John Hansen.
John, is his real name Stan Hansen? It sounds like such a real name.
I know. Oh, man. Bastion Booger.
Oh, God.
Is his real name Cuss Murphy?
Cuss? Can you spell cuss for me?
C-U-S.
Cuss Murphy. God damn. That sounds too real to be fake or too fake to be real. I don't know. Cuss Murphy.
How many have you gotten so far? Three?
Three so far. I'll say that's real.
Fake.
Fuck.
Conan. Okay. Is his real name Charles Ashenoff or not?
No, fake.
It's real.
Fuck. Man, he's going to be getting everything wrong. Fuck.
Three still?
Yeah.
Ole Anderson.
Oh, no.
Is his real name Al Anderson or not?
Fake.
Yeah, it's fake.
at least I'm not the worst ever.
Yeah. Mikey Whipwreck.
Okay.
Is his real name James Watson or no?
I'll say yes.
Yeah.
Okay, yeah.
Mason Ryan. Barry Griffiths.
Barry Griffiths. Beery. Mason. I'll say real.
It is real.
Okay.
Good job. All so right. Six.
I got six.
All right. This bonus question is kind of a gimme, but.
All right.
Only one wrestler, at least that I found through my research, has won the World Heavyweight title and tag team titles in WCW/NWA and WWF using both a gimmick name and their real name. Who is that person?
Somebody won both the world title and tag title in both federations.
Yeah.
Using both a gimmick name.
And their real name.
And their real name. Okay. All right. Oh, Nash.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah.
Yeah, it's not that hard.
Yeah, that's easy.
Yeah, I know. I was hoping there'd be more people who won both belts and, you know, using their real name in a character's name, but he was, as near as I can tell, he was the only one.
That's interesting. How many people have even won the world title using a gimmick name and a real name? just the world title alone.
I think usually if you win the world title with one or the other, you stick with it. Like, not many people, it seems like it would take crossing over to another federation to necessitate a name change. Otherwise, if you're popular enough to win a heavyweight belt, you're not going to go and change your name, you know?
Right. I mean, the only reason they change their names is legal reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of anybody. Yeah, and back then, like, Ric Flair would just hop from wherever he wanted to go. Like, you know, that didn't really pop up until the 90s when people had to start changing their names.
Mm-hmm.
Huh, interesting.
But even going back through the history of the NWA World Championship, you know, it wasn't, you know, everybody then, it seemed like, you know, if they did change the name to work somewhere else, they didn't, or in WWF, they didn't change their name there.
Yeah.
So, like, Buddy Rogers won both the NWA and WWF title. Huh. But he was Buddy Rogers in both federations.
Right. Yeah, it wasn't until, yeah.
So good job. Was that six?
Six plus the bonus.
Ooh, seven.
I got seven.
Well done.
Don't condescend to me.
No, that was honest. Compared to how you did last time, that's well done.
That is well done. I almost doubled my score from last time.
Yeah.
All right. Well, thanks, everybody, for hanging out. Go to Spreadshirt, StephenLarsen.Spreadshirt.com.
We have to order those shirts.
I know. We have to order those shirts soon so we can wear them. And we can show you guys how wonderful they are.
Yeah.
Or how crappy they may be. I don't know.
We haven't worn them.
I think last time I ordered from a Spreadshirt, I liked it. I think my Pete Esperado shirt was a Spreadshirt. And that's pretty high quality.
Yeah. Not the heavy cotton, right?
Right. No. It's an American Apparel.
Okay, perfect.
I have an American Apparel. Perfect. And the screen printing job's pretty decent.
Cool.
Or whatever the fuck it is. All right. Well, thanks for hanging out, guys. We'll talk to you later.
Goodbye.